Nehemiah chapter 4, let's begin reading in verse 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them to come together, or together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers and burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build a wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore said I, in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the harbergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, and they that bare burdens, with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. You know, we have a beautiful part of this book right here, and it has for me a lot to do with faith and common sense. We all know what faith is, but it seems like common sense has been kind of shoved out the door, and especially in our country. There's a lot of people in our country, folks, that don't have enough sense to get in out of the rain. They don't have common sense. They can't look at something and say, well, you know, if I do that, that's going to hurt me. Well, that won't be good to do that. They just do it. To give you an example, or a couple of examples. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I got enough faith in God that I can walk right down the middle of that yellow stripe on the highway, and if God don't want that truck to hit me, it won't. I'm going to tell y'all something. That ain't faith. That's stupidity. That's ignorance. God might look at you and say, you know what, if you ain't got no more sense than that, I'm going to take you out of the gene pool. Or how about this one? Well, we got thousands of dollars and maybe millions of dollars worth of equipment, but we're not going to lock the doors, and if God don't want that thief to get it, it won't happen. That's not faith. That's neglect. God made you steward over that stuff, and you're being haphazard with it. That's not faith. Common sense says you don't walk down the middle of the road. Common sense says you do everything you can to protect it. I'm just going to go ahead and give you this right quick, right up front. I'll probably say it again here in a few minutes. Faith and common sense go hand in hand. Faith is you trusting God to do what you can't do. Common sense says you do what you can do. And I think God expects us to do what we can do. But He doesn't expect us to try to do what only He can do. So as we go through this, see if those things ring true. Folks, number one, faith is not foolishness. Nehemiah shows us something many believers struggle to hold together. Faith in God does not cancel the need for wisdom. Faith in God does not cancel the need for planning. Faith in God does not cancel the need for practical action. And faith in God does not cancel the need for common sense. When divorced from faith, if you divorce your common sense from faith, it quickly becomes fear, self-reliance, and spiritual paralysis. Nehemiah gives us a picture that faith that prays and prepares and trusts and takes precautions, believes, and builds. That's what he's going to show us. So as we look at it, first thing you notice is they're building the wall. It's built to the halfway point, and the enemy cannot stand it. Their anger intensifies. When it says they were wroth, man, they were in a rage. How dare y'all keep building that wall? It says their enemies were wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem. There was, you got Sanballat, Tobiah, you got the Arabians, you got the Ashdodites. Folks, the more God's ground that God's people gains, the more Satan stirs. The more his little followers get ready to attack. And do not think that Satan's attack is not coordinated, because it is. Look at these. Sanballat came from the north. Tobiah was coming from the east. The Arabs from the south. The Ashdodites from the west. Y'all see that? God's people are surrounded. They can come at them from any direction. When you're serving the Lord, you better be on guard. You better have eyes in the back of your head. You better be paying attention to what's going on, because Satan will attack you from a direction that you didn't even think. That's why you pray. That's why you trust God to help you to see these things. Don't be surprised if you start obeying the Lord that pressure doesn't start to mount. Don't interpret opposition as failure. Just because you're being opposed doesn't mean that what you're doing is wrong. It very often means that what you're doing is very right. And if you know it's what God wants you to do, then don't you dare let opposition keep you from doing it. Nehemiah's not going to stop halfway. He may stop and take a little breather, but he's not going to quit. He's going to finish what God sent him there to do. So let's look at the response of faith in verse 9. Look what he says. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. We made our prayer unto God. A lot of the folks there were panicking. Judah's panicking. The people said, oh, they're going to come upon us from any direction. What did it say? 10 times some of these folks said, they're going to get us. The people were panicking, but the leader did not. Prayer, folks, should never be the last resort. It ought to be the first reflex or the first response. You see, there's a difference between a response and a reaction. A lot of people panic. That's a reaction. But when you respond, you go to the Lord in prayer. You don't panic. You go to the one that can absolutely help you. Why would Nehemiah go to God first? Because he was dependent upon God. Faith begins by saying, Lord, the battle is bigger than I am. The battle is bigger than we are. And folks, anytime Satan is throwing something at you, the battle is bigger than you are. You're not more powerful than Satan, but the Lord is. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Before you strategize, before you complain or react, listen, what happens? Most people, we like to fix it, don't we? Especially men. We start making a plan. We start trying to figure out. We start making schemes. Well, this is how I'll take care of it. This is what I'll do. It's not what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah prayed right off the bat. So, folks, you could say that faith starts on your knees. Go to the one that can help you and go to Him first. Most of the time, we're just like everybody else. We use God like a fire extinguisher. We got a fire, and we've tried everything we can do to put it out. We almost burnt the parsonage down at Geneva. Big old grease fire. I won't go into all the details, but I'll tell you this, a wet towel will not put out a grease fire. If we hadn't had a 2-pound deal of baking soda, we would have burnt the parsonage down. You panic. That's what happens. You're running around like a chicken with your head cut off. So let your first response be prayer. Faith. What's common sense's first response? Watchfulness. Look at that verse again. What did he say? We made our prayer unto God. That's the first thing they did. And then set a watch against them day and night because of them. They set a watch. Prayer does not replace responsibility. Prayer does not replace common sense. Prayer does not replace you using your brain that God gave you. And so he says, okay, we prayed. And then he say, we don't need guards. We prayed. I can stand out here, and if that God don't want that tornado to hit me, it won't. That's not faith. That's ignorance. God gave you sense. God gave you some brains. Use them. Nehemiah could not defeat the enemy, but Nehemiah could do what Nehemiah could do and have the people do what they could do. So he doesn't say we don't need guards. He prayed and set guards. See that? He made a common sense judgment. They say they're coming. We're praying to God. We're going to trust God to do what we can't. We're going to trust Him to take care of the situation. But we're going to set guards. That's not a lack of faith. That's using your brain with faith. Now, if God chooses, folks, God used a hornet? He used one angel. God doesn't always use people, but sometimes He will take and use. He used David, didn't He? Did God need David to go up against Goliath? No, He could have done it Himself. But He let David do what David could do. And we all know that's in part of the getting him to be the king. But the point is, David could go up against Goliath, but God could make sure that rock hit him right between the eyes. Faith is not carelessness. As I've already said, some people spiritualize irresponsibility. Well, God will protect me, but take no precautions. I mean, if it had been a tornado last night and you had a storm cellar in your yard, and you're going to stand out on the porch and say, God will protect me. No, you're going to say, God protect us while we're in this storm cellar. God protect us. God will provide. Man, let me do this. You can have all the faith in the world that God will provide. And you can sit out here under a tree and starve to death. The Bible also says if you don't work, you don't eat. The Bible teaches us that we are to work. We are to labor. That's part of it. That's part of the fall. After the fall, poor old Adam's going to have to work the rest of his life. And that means we got to work. So you can't just say, well, God will provide and then refuse to work. It don't work that way. Now let me say this. I have no problem if I see somebody, I'll feed the kids and let mom and dad go hungry. Because the kids are not responsible for putting food on the table. But if the parents are so lazy they won't work, I'll take the kids to my house, I'll feed them there, and mom and dad can starve. These fellas standing on the street corner that are wearing brand new Nike shoes and brand new blue jeans and a brand new shirt and smoking cigarettes wanting me to give them money, go get a job. Well, God's always taking care of me. But I've run into these people my entire ministry. I had one in Texas. Vicky locked the door on me. I thought, he was swinging his cane around and everything. God's never God's never let me down before, and God wasn't letting him down then either. If you want to eat, then be willing to work. God will fix it. God will fix it, but then we avoid repentance, or we avoid hard conversations, or we avoid doing what's necessary to fix it. Folks, I believe with all my heart, God expects us to do what we can do. And then when it goes past what we can do, that's where He takes over. Now, He will enable you to do what you can do. If it wasn't for Him doing that, you couldn't do anything anyway. Nehemiah shows faith and common sense are partners. They're not rivals. You pray for your marriage. God fix our marriage. He'll never fix it if you're not willing to communicate with each other. Oh, I'm praying for my children. But if you're not going to parent intentionally, if you're going to just try to be their best friend, don't expect that child to turn out the way that you want them to. He didn't ask you to be their friend. He asked you to be their parent. Well, I pray for my finances. But then you don't budget. And you don't work. I pray for protection, but you don't lock your doors. God expects you to use some common sense. Then we come to discouragement. These fellas on the outside, do you realize that most of the time outside influence doesn't hurt? It spurs people on. But now we got some inside stuff going on. Look at verse 10. And Judah. Does it strike y'all here about Judah? Folks, who's coming from the tribe of Judah? The Lord is. This is the kingly tribe. This is the one tribe you wouldn't expect to complain or say anything bad or be negative, but they are. What did they say again? And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is so much rubbish so that we're not able to build the wall. Oh, poor us. We're tired. We're tired. You know what? It's just like a seminary. Them old boys would get, students would get to say, oh, I'm so wore out. I had one doing that one day, and he's a little older than I was, but I was teaching at seminary. He just went to complaining about how tired he was and how all of this, and he's lulled, and I said, yeah, and you don't have to do this to be a preacher. And I just went on and named about a half a dozen other things, and he said, how do you know all that? And I said, look down this aisle. Look down this hallway. Every teacher and every student here feels the same way. So keep on going. We're all tired. But if you're not careful, you get the naysayers in there, oh, there's just too much rubbish, and it rubs off. If this one thinks there's too much rubbish, it won't be long till this one will say, well, you know, there's just too much rubbish, I quit. I don't see any headway making here. I'm going to quit. I'm tired. I'm sick of doing this. It's become boring. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Fatigue makes small problems look enormous. You get tired. That's just the thing it is. External intimidation in verses 11 and 12. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us, 10 times from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Fear spreads faster than facts. And people like to spread negativism. And it will always spread faster than being positive. Discouragement, folks, is often one of the devil's most effective weapons. Get you discouraged and you want to quit. You want to drop out. I'm going to tell you something. That's one of those big ones that he uses, especially on preachers. The preachers get up and they preach week after week after week, and there's nobody comes to the altar, nobody walks the aisle. You don't think you're doing any good. You get to a point where you think, well, nobody's listening to me. They all, they're probably sitting out there reading on their phones or whatever. Who cares? You know, you want to quit. You get to like that point where that fella got up one morning, he said, I ain't going to church today. And his mama said, why? And he said, because them people down there don't like me. The people down there don't pay attention. He said, give me one good reason why I need to go to church today. She said, because you're the pastor. You're the pastor. You got to go. Did y'all realize every Sunday morning the one person that is expected to be here is me? And you know why y'all expect me to be here? Because you pay me. I'm getting paid. But that's not why I'm here. I'm here because the Lord called me to preach, and right now I'm the pastor of Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, so I'd be here whether you paid me or not. Because that's what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to preach if there's one person, or if the whole building is full, or if there's half a congregation, I'm going to preach to those people. But when you're tired, you're overwhelmed, or afraid, your faith, folks, needs reinforcement. So Nehemiah has a balanced strategy, verses 13 through 18. I'm not going to read it again. That's the heart of the passage. You know what he does in verse 13? He positions families strategically. He's using some common sense here along with his faith. He puts people after their families with swords, spears, and bows. Why? Why would he do that? Because you will fight harder for what you love. You, every man in here will fight harder for his family than he will for anybody else's family. And that's not to say he won't fight for your family, but he'll fight harder for his. When a soldier goes overseas, he's fighting for America. But let me tell you this. Everyone that I've talked to says, I'm fighting so my family can be safe. I'm fighting not just for my country, but for my family. He strengthens their faith. What does he say? Be not ye afraid. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. He takes their eyes off the problem and puts it on the solution. That's some good common sense right there. It's God that's going to help us. Yes, we've got to do our part, but it's He that's going to bless. It's He that's greater than our enemy. Fear shrinks when God is big. Folks, if our God is not big enough to take care of the problems that we face, then we got a problem, don't we? He arms the workers. Half work, half guard. Those who build carry a weapon in one hand and tools in the other. That's just common sense. It's not a lack of faith. He's trusting God to take care of them, but he's expecting the people to do what they can do. Do you realize that this is a picture of Christian living? A trowel and a sword. The trowel, folks, is for building. Building your life, building your family, building the church, building your testimony, your witness, your reputation. The sword is for resisting the enemy and standing in the truth. Taken together, that's a picture of Christian living. What sword do we carry? We carry the sword of the Spirit. Now, I thank God I don't have to come up here carrying a gun. That'd be sad, wouldn't it? Not to say that I can't, but I'm glad I don't have to. The point is, our God is that big. He arms the workers. They're working with a trowel and holding a sword. They're building their life, their family, the wall, the separation, while at the same time resisting the enemy. Build your home and guard your home. Build your ministry and guard your heart. Build your future and guard your mind. Faith says God will fight for us. Common sense says pick up your sword. Together. Community, he had a community of watchful faith, verses 19 through 23. They stayed unified. The work is great and spread out, isn't it? So what does Nehemiah do? He creates a communication system. He says, when you hear the trumpet sound, you all rally to the point of the trumpet. You all come because that's where we all need to be for defense. They were able to speak to each other. They were that close on the wall working. When one believer is under attack, folks, the church should rally. Christians should stay connected. Isolation is dangerous. Don't try to be an island. Don't try to isolate yourself from brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me tell you something. If you are depressed, if you're down, find you a brother or sister in Christ and confide in them. The book of Galatians says we're to help one another bear each other's burdens. I can't help you bear a burden if I don't know you have it. But let me go ahead and say this. You know, one of the reasons that people quit doing that is because people like to gossip. If somebody comes to you and they say, I need your help. I need a shoulder. I need advice. Don't you dare go tell anybody else what that brother or sister said to you. It's nobody else's business. They're confiding in you. They're wanting you to help them. And it may need nothing more than just listening to them. But they don't need us running and blabbing it to everybody else. Got to stay connected. They stayed ready. They worked from sunrise to sunset. Did you notice that a bunch of them slept in their clothes and kept their weapons close? That's spiritual vigilance. They stayed prayed up. They stayed in the Word. They stayed alert to temptation. They stayed connected to the body. It all works together. Faith without common sense becomes presumption. God will protect me is not an excuse for recklessness. Common sense without faith becomes fear. If you rely only on your strength, your cunningness, your ability, you will crumble under pressure. So Nehemiah shows a biblical balance, and this is what it is. Pray like it all depends on God. Work like it all depends on you. Trust God for the outcome. Prepare for the battle. Believe that God will fight for you. And stand fast with your sword and your trowel. That's how it works. Did it work for them? It sure did. They finished the wall in 52 days. The work almost stopped right here. The work almost didn't get finished. Had it not been for a man of faith and common sense, that work might not ever have finished and been completed. Not under Nehemiah, anyway. So don't separate the two. You trust God, but you use common sense.